The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. Welcome to St. Timothy. Happy all to be here on this, the Super Bowl Sunday. Yes.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Today is the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. Of course, we still have our star up, back in the light of Christ, you know, and the wise men. And ultimately, the Gentiles are brought in to receive the message of Christ. And so we remember that. This is, next week will be the Transfiguration of our Lord. So that will be different time. We'll be moving into the Lent season with Ash Wednesday on February 17th. So it's a great time to hear God's word, especially during these days. I don't think I have anything before you beforehand, but let's just join in worship and sing our first hymn.
Us.
We sing.
Oh, Lord, save to us.
Christ has appeared to us. Please be seated. Our first reading is from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, whom he blows on them and they wither. The tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from the Psalms, Psalm 147. We read responsibly. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting.
The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel.
He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
He determines the number of stars. He gives to all of them their names.
Great is our Lord, and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure.
The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground.
Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre.
He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain from the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills.
He gives to the beasts their food, and to the young ravens that cry.
His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man.
But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, and those who hope in his steadfast love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Third reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And Paul writes, if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward, but not of my own will. I am still entrusted with the stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospels. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in his blessings. Do you not know that in a race all runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beat in the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others I find myself to be disqualified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Immediately, Jesus, left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
We'll continue standing for the singing of our hymn. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm not sure how many of you are actually invested, but perhaps later today you'll watch the Super Bowl. Yes, the game is on. Not our teams, but other teams. And I'm a little excited to watch the game, actually, because it's another remnant of the way things were before. And I can enjoy it. Even though I know the event will be remarkably different than last year, I'm still pretty excited to see how things turn out. What commercials give good laughs, and honestly, I could use a distraction from the many problems going on. But I don't really care for the teams that are playing. One team is defending champions, and the other has, well, the Super Bowl player defending his place as the greatest of all time. And so nothing really is exciting to me there. I had different hopes and expectations for the game. Yet I suppose they all, as players, have achieved their goals and fulfilled their promises. The athletes, the coaches, the trainers, they are achieving
the goal for which they've been striving towards. Brady has done it multiple times. But it's exactly why the Chiefs, the Buccaneers, they wanted guys with that goal in mind, to get to and to win the Super Bowl. Tom Brady didn't tell the Buccaneers that he's just trying to see how long he can play. I'm pretty sure when they picked him, he told them, if you pick me, I will get you a Super Bowl win. That's what all these players have in mind. Goals. An end that they are striving for. And people like Tom are inspiring because they show for us dedication and resilience to achieve impossible things. Even our man Paul, in our text, he found inspiration from athletes because they have goals. And to obtain those goals, every athlete has to exercise the necessary discipline, self-control, focus, and attention so that they might receive the crown, the trophy, the end result, the win. But goals are not just something for athletes. Goals are for everyone. Everyone has a goal in mind. We have our goals that we try to achieve. Sometimes, though, with varying success, and sometimes we're not entirely sure what those goals are specifically, but we have a sense of what we are trying to achieve. And we might parse them out and have different goals for each of our stations in life. When it comes to a place like work, perhaps the goal is to be better than the guy next to you, or maybe to please the boss, at least look good. But more than likely, our goals for work is to make more money. They're not bad goals. They're perfectly reasonable because with that goal in mind, we have other goals that maybe we try to let work together. If I have the right goals here in this place, then they will serve this other goal, like the goals of our family. Perhaps the goal for your family is happiness, whatever that means, or success, good morals, honorable characteristics. Maybe the goal for our families is simply love, peace, togetherness. So when it comes to fulfilling some of these goals, we discipline ourselves. We put our attention to the things that will ultimately work towards the end goal. And sometimes that means sacrificing other things so that the goal can be achieved. How you conduct yourselves in all areas of your life, you have goals in mind. Maybe not clear goals, maybe a sense of a goal. But in each station that you're put in, you are working towards something. And with all these different goals, there is still an ultimate goal you have in mind. There is something that you order everything around to achieve. The ultimate goal is something you are working on right now, right where you're sitting. You want this goal so badly that those other goals, those other parts of your life, start to assist and shape you to achieving the goal. It's true for you. It's true for the players tonight. The athletes, the coaches, all of them, they have one thing in mind, and that is to win the Super Bowl, to get the trophy, to get the rings. And it's obvious to us that is their goal. Their whole life is built and shaped to achieve that goal. And why wouldn't it be? I mean, you might have seen those stories that they do on the players before the big game, you know. They always want to tell you about them, and so you can get little feels before the game. And you see little Patrick Mahomes playing sports and finding out that from a young age he wanted to play football. Even while he was still very talented in all these other sports and all these other areas, yet he saw one goal in mind. He had one goal. And that was he was going to strive for that goal. So all the other sports, anything that didn't aim toward making the goal happen, was dropped off. And he looked for a good college program, good leagues, a good team. It would all be towards that goal, and all the other things would start to be replaced, or someone else that would be put in that place to achieve the goal. He disciplined his body. He worked on his form. He even built relationships and tailored his life in a way that would assure him of his goals. But then you look at someone like, well, Tom Brady, right? who's still playing football at 43. And he has done the most to achieve and surpass other players in the history of the game. And you wonder, why does he keep going? What more is there to achieve that he has not already done or surpassed? While I don't exactly know, I would say it's because it's who he is. He is a football player. And that's what football players do. They go for the goal. They go for the win. They go for the Super Bowl. And I think he can't help himself. And if the Lord gives him strength to keep going and bring about wins, he can't stop because it's who he is. Goals are not easy to achieve. And a goal like that certainly is not. But we've seen him come through and he is enjoying the fruits of those labors tenfold. But we shouldn't miss the enormous cost that comes when you are getting after your goals. When you're going for the win, you are replacing other things to achieve that goal. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about in our passage. In our passage to the church of Corinth, Paul is talking about goals. He is well aware of his position and his goals. Paul is an apostle. He is one who is sent. Apostle literally means sent. And Paul is sent by Jesus Christ himself to preach the gospel. That's why he says, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Because that's what he's been sent to do. It's my responsibility to do it, whether I want to or not. And you all know that feeling when it comes to doing your job or taking care of a responsibility that maybe you would rather not have to do, but you do it anyway because who's going to do it? The same is true for Paul. Yet he finds tremendous joy in the task. He was sent. He was entrusted with this stewardship, with this station in life. And so to do anything else would be to ignore the station in life that he was given, that he was put in. Even though he is set free by the love of Jesus Christ, Paul has made himself a servant to all. And if we look at verse 19, if you turn to verse 19 on page 5 of your bulletin, you find out what his goal is. "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, and his goal, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became like a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as those under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became like one outside the law, to win more, to bring them in. To the weak I became weak. To the strong I became strong. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings." That is his ultimate goal. To win more people. To capture them. To take a hold of them. To conquer them. And bring them into the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Therefore, his whole life is shaped and molded to achieve that goal. He disciplines himself. He works out. He sacrifices things that, while they aren't a problem, he sees them as deterring him from his ultimate goal. To win people for Jesus Christ. To send out the gospel. And so, like an athlete, Paul says, he continues to exercise self-control. He disciplines the body. He forms relationships that will achieve the goal. He goes to the places that need to hear. He changes his plans when opportunities for success open up. His life is shaped in this way, around winning more people for Christ. And now he can't stop. He just keeps going. Because it's who he is. It's all he does and can do. But Paul himself is an apostle. And perhaps It seems so obvious and so clear that this would be Paul's goal. Of course it's his goal. He's trying to win as many people as possible. He's a religious minister. That's what they do. They try to grab everybody and bring them and convince them into their religion. It's like the one top job description. And you all, of course, are not Paul. Further, you're not all apostles, and Paul doesn't really help with our different callings, at least on the surface. Maybe for me, I find a lot of use from Paul here. He gives me some direction, some guidance. But maybe it doesn't feel that way for you, because you're all not pastors or religious ministers. You all have different callings in life. And you all have different goals. But one thing we do know is that you have goals. And maybe they're not so defined, not so well articulated, but you do have a sense of what you're trying to go after. You do have an ultimate goal. Yet the thing about goals is that they do change. We change them all the time. Rarely do we start with a specific goal in mind and actually achieve it, it seems. More often than not, we find something better, we find something different that maybe is more achievable, more reasonable, and more in line with who you are. Sometimes, though, we're forced to change our goals because of life circumstances. Those are sometimes the hardest ones to let go, because we think they're not a decision we made and that we're forced into. But most often, and if you're honest with yourself and think about it, you'll find that the goals you are working towards were never your decision in the first place. Maybe in the details, but for the most part, you have never actually made goals for yourself, because your goals were made for you. Because you are people born in a specific time and place. You are people with different gifts, different body types, different personalities, different privileges, different hindrances, and overall, you're just a different person. And these limitations have placed specific goals in front of you that you quite honestly have zero control over. We feel those limitations when surprise circumstances happen. An unplanned baby, a spouse betrays you, a job opportunity that rips you away from what you're familiar, a child makes an unexpected decision that you have to bear, a parent doesn't live up to their responsibilities, and maybe you have a change of heart with no real good explanation. Even a pandemic will cause you to reassess what those goals are. And are they worth dying for? Your goals are not something you can decide, because there are too many limitations on you that need to be taken into account. Goals are tricky, and we should pay more attention to the goals we're going for. Because at the end of the day, goals are who you are. Just like Paul, his goal, while might seem like it was a decision of his that he chose, they were merely the product of who he is as an apostle. Even someone like Tom Brady, while he has those goals in mind, they are really the evidence of who he is, a great athlete. Even the Savior, Jesus Christ, had goals. You think, for the Son of God, that what goals could he possibly have? He's God after all. But even he, when he began his mission and work, the mission had some goals. The mission was to bring about the good news that God cares for his creation, that God is ready to restore and make it new. And so Jesus, he went out with that goal in mind, to win as many as he can and bring them into his saving work. The goal cost him his life. And it's at the cross that we see Jesus' goal and who he really is. He is the Lord, the crucified Son of God who came to win as many as he can. And his life was shaped and molded by this goal that he thought this world was worth dying for, that you were worth dying for. You are his goal. You are who he wins. You see, it's a bit ingrained in our culture that everyone is out looking out for number one. Everyone is out to win for themselves. But you have already won. You already have the prize and received the trophy because you were the goal for the Son of God. And now his goal is your goal. So maybe your goal is not so different from Paul. But like any good team that goes to the Super Bowl, everyone has their parts to play. A team of Tom Brady's, while perhaps talented, will probably not get the Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl. The same is true for the church. You all are brought in as the body of Christ, and God has given you the goal, the ultimate goal. How that is played is different for each of you, but it is important to the ultimate goal. You all are entrusted with a stewardship, a station in life, a goal. And perhaps it's not one you particularly chose for yourself, but just the simple fact that they are placed upon you is evidence that God calls you to be there. For even though you are free from everything and Lord of all, you are entrusted with a station in life and therefore a servant, completely attentive to the needs of all. Your goals are picked for you, and your goals are placed right in front of you. You have been won for the kingdom, and that goal is who you are, and you live out the kingdom in your lives. Follow the Savior, and to follow the Savior is to have the goals he has given you. Those other goals that support the ultimate goal are not really things you need to decide on. You don't have to develop a list of goals because Christ has set your goals for you. Your children, your work, your parents, your community, your church, your government, your charities, your house, your domicile, your friends, and the people you're called to love. Those are your other goals. How you go about achieving the goals is something you'll have to work out. But like an athlete, you run towards those goals. You discipline, you practice self-control, you work out, you work on your form, and make connections that further the goal, the ultimate goal. It's no question that you will have to sacrifice some things. But it's how you get there. Those things you might have to sacrifice could be yourself. It could be stopping you from achieving those goals. But I suppose if it's true that they say it's not about the destination, but it's how you get there, I wonder what the point of the destination is if you're not striving to get there. You are people who are brought to Jesus Christ, and he calls you to a certain stewardship, and you are put in a specific place to run. Be attentive to how you finish the race, and you will win because you have been won. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We continue on page 7 by confessing our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. As you're able, please stand.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven,
and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. Now I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We continue by singing our canticle. Please be seated.
us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, hear my prayer.
And let my cry come to you.
We give thanks to you, dear Father, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, that through him the gospel has been preached, casting out the works of Satan and the corruption of sin, which we could not overcome. By your word, rescue us from every evil of body and soul. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, give to all Christian homes the endurance that comes from your Holy Spirit, that we may be disciplined and self-controlled in our duties, run our course in this life, and continue to be holy Christian faith, ready to receive the imperishable wreath of eternal life. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Almighty God, creator of the world and its foundations, you hold might over the powers of nature and the rulers of the earth. Graciously preserve our land, its produce and industry, and our leaders together with our people. Do not disregard us for our sins, but renew us, that our lives may be peaceful and our country governed according to your will. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Gracious Creator, you keep a watchful eye on your creation, and nothing happens without your knowledge. Continue to sustain the things that are beautiful, and give us trust in your will for the good that will be revealed at the revelation. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Your Son is the great physician of body and soul, at whose hand demons, disease, and every ill effect of sin must turn away. We bring before you those in need, especially Danger, Wayne, Sandra, Pastor Flack, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Thurston, Alex, Debbie, Bella, Ava, and Esther. Keep them in your loving arms. We also lift up our brothers and sisters who are unable to gather with us. Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, Thurston and Jim, and Alex. Send your Holy Spirit to assure them in the faith, use us to bring your word. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Holy Lord, we pray for your persecuted saints across the world. May we learn by their example the cost of following you, and by their faithful confession, trust that you keep us in your care. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Blessed Father, your church is a witness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your church, you reveal to the world and creation who they truly belong to. Give us courage to listen and speak the truth in love, that your gracious will might be revealed in us. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Great Redeemer, you have purchased and won us by your precious blood. Continue to forgive us when we falter, and turn us toward our neighbor who needs to be loved. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that, relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all.
Amen.
We sing our final hymn. Please be seated.
Amen.
invite you to turn to page 13 for a couple of quick announcements. Yes, the newsletters have been sent out, and also have just a deadline for this month. We're going to do a March-April newsletter, so 2 months. So if you have something you'd like to include, keep that in mind. Ash Wednesday service will be on February 17th at 7 p.m. We won't be doing imposition of ashes or soup supper, but we will have a service and communion, yes. And then Lenten services later in the month of March. Church council meeting, and then Gospel of John. Still going through that. I think it's a lot of fun. I think people are enjoying it, so invite you if you haven't been to join us. And that's it for me. Now, Jeremy, I thought we had something.
Just the council meeting, but what was it? Zoom meeting at 7 o'clock, or wherever you're doing it. From the council, of course, but anyone else that is as well.
Awesome. Any other announcements you'd like to make? Well, thanks. All right, well, thank you all. Hope you enjoy the Super Bowl later if you're watching, but other than that, go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.